Hello, and welcome back to the Lucky Girl Podcast. I'm your host, Lexi Prieto, and I am joined today by a very special guest. My favorite, no, I won't say favorite, one of my older sisters who has helped me through everything with this episode. It is the one and only Grace Prieto.
Hi, guys. I'm Grace. I'm going to be joining you guys today just to talk a little bit.
So this is my sister. She is a year older than me. This is technically the middle sister of the family. We have her on phone call right now. So if the audio is kind of bad, that is okay. But Grace, is there something that you want to tell them?
Yes, I do. I hope you guys are ready to enter your luckiest era ever.
Perfect. Alrighty, lucky girls. So this is the first ever episode with a guest star on. I am so excited, and it is very, very fitting that it is my sister because she has helped me through a lot of my situations surrounding love, which is what this episode is going to be about. We are talking about everything I know about love. But before we get into this episode, let's go ahead and get our social medias out of the way. So if you want to follow the podcast Instagram, stay up to date on everything podcast. We talk about the weekly recaps, the lucky girl affirmations, and if I have any updates regarding the podcast, it'll be on here. So the lucky girl Instagram is going to be at lucky girl pod. That's LuckyGirlPod. If you want to follow my personal Instagram, stay up to date with everything that I do. I am chronically online and I'm obsessed with posting lately. It is going to be at Lexi G Prieto. That's LexiGPrieto. And our guest star of the week, would you like to shout out your Instagram handle?
Yeah, if you guys like me on this podcast and you guys want to keep up to date with my life, my Instagram is my first name, Grace, period, Lauren, LAUREN.
Yeah, so if you want to follow Grace on her Instagram, once again, it is grace.lauren.p. We're going to hop right into our Lucky Girl segments. If you are new to the Lucky Girl podcast, you should know that we do these Lucky Girl segments as a way for you kind of to connect with me and to connect with our guest stars to be able to understand what we go through that makes us who we are, because the entire basis of this podcast is navigating life in your 20s. I'm 22, Grace is 23, and I love talking about what I go through because I feel like every single week I feel like I go through something that alters who I am.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely. Life is changing so fast. We're experiencing things so fast. So yeah, pretty much every week I feel like I develop a new thought process on something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So starting off with the weekly recap, Gracie, do you want to start off or do you want me to start off?
Yeah, I can take it, I guess.
Okay, go ahead.
So weekly recap for me, pretty steady week. I have the same week every week almost. My job's consistent. So, you know, my week, I got a performance evaluation at work and I was ranked top amongst my peers. So that's pretty much the highlight of my week, just kind of been chilling, enjoying the summer, and finishing out this Pride Month.
Mm-hmm. How has, so Grace lives on the East Coast, just a little background. Let's start there, actually, before we get fully into the weekly recap. Let's go ahead and start a little bit about Grace, if you don't mind me taking this from you. Like I said, Gracie is 23. She lives on the East Coast and she has a very complex job. She lives with her loving girlfriend and she has three cats now.
Three cats.
Let me try to get the names right, okay? Binks.
Okay, go ahead.
Binks is the oldest boy, her oldest boy, Junior, yep. And Lolita, right?
Lolita, yep.
Yay! That's her little family. Gracie is actually driving to Pennsylvania right now, right?
Yep.
She's driving to Pennsylvania. So on this very long car ride, she has agreed to come on the podcast and talk to you guys about everything she knows about love as well. So I'm just very, very excited. But do you want to finish your weekly recap or is that all you really had to say?
That's all I have to say.
Okay. So let's hop into my weekly recap. So I have been spending a lot of time this week focusing on learning things. After I went skydiving, I had started to become obsessed with being somebody who has hobbies because I had realized that my only really big hobby is this podcast. And it's not even a hobby, it's a career, but it's like learning stuff within the podcast. It felt like a hobby to me. Like I was continuously like searching up stuff and learning stuff. And it was so fun. And then like I have very physical hobbies, I would say, like Pilates or going to the gym or stuff like that. But I don't really have any like mentally stimulated hobbies. So I've been really focusing this week on trying to find new hobbies. So I bought a coloring book, which is so funny because I don't remember, other than being really, really little, coloring since like probably the age of like 8 or 9. Because I'm bad at coloring. I'm very, very artistically challenged. I'm really bad at like anything to do with painting or coloring. And I talked to you guys about it in a couple episodes before this about how I painted a ceramic dinosaur, and Gracie was actually on the phone when I was doing this. I had my my neons on. It was nighttime and my neons are yellow, and I was painting this dinosaur with what I thought was a blue paint. I turned it on and it turned out to be the ugliest green yellow that I've ever seen in my entire life. But I'm just really, really, really bad at like artist stuff, like artistic things. So I have challenged myself to learn more about hobbies and try new things. And I'm honestly really proud of myself this week. I have really, I've really stepped up and tried to do new things, even though I know I'm bad at it. That was kind of the point. And it was a couple months ago, I think, actually. There's this thing called like, let me remember. I don't know exactly, but it's like, it's essentially like, you let yourself fail so that you realize that it's not the end of the world. I forgot the specific name for it, but it's like, I don't want to say it's like failure therapy, but it's something like that. And within this,
acceptance therapy?
What is it?
Is it like acceptance therapy?
Yeah, something really similar to that. So a couple months ago, I actually, and this is so funny, I don't know if I've ever told you this, Gracie, I auditioned to be a dancer. I auditioned to be a dancer in a parade. I have no dance background at all. I could bust a move when I need to, but I have no professional like background in dance at all. And I'm terrible. I'm okay. I won't say I'm terrible, actually. I'm good when I get to freestyle. I'm bad when it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, like counting off. Can't keep a beat to save my life. But I did that a couple months ago, and I did want the role, but I obviously in my head I was like, this is also like acceptance therapy. Like, I'm going to try something that I know I'm bad at, and if I fail, then I fail, and it's not the end of the world, and I'm realizing that it's not the end of the world. And I did that when I was going through a very like hard period of my life where I felt like I was failing a lot, that I was getting frustrated with myself, but I was like, no, like failing is good. Failing is what we need to do to rewire and rework where we're at, you know? So that's what I think it's been coming back up this week of learning that failure is kind of a good thing. And when you practice, you know, you won't fail eventually. So that was my week. Moving on to the lucky girl obsessions of the week. Gracie, do you want to take over and tell them your lucky girl obsession?
Yeah, my lucky girl obsessions recently, I feel like I have a few odd ones, kind of to circle back to your mind games and painting and stuff. Mm-hmm. I've been obsessed with Sudoku.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. I love
One,
Sudoku.
I don't need Wi-Fi to play it, so when I'm at work, I'm just, like, playing it to mm-hmm. be distracted. But it is so fun, and it exercises my brain, which is something, you know, like, being out of high school for so long in college.
Yeah.
It's like, it's something we don't get often mm-hmm. in our day-to-day, like challenging your brain. Mm-hmm. So I do, that's been one of my obsessions.
Do you play Wordle at all? Do you play the New York Times?
No.
Oh, it'll change your life. It's so fun.
I'm stepping into the realm now.
Yes.
So maybe I'll look at those.
Welcome.
But yeah, what else? I watched Pretty Woman for the first time.
Ooh.
That's now a lucky girl obsession, is that movie. I can just watch it over and over.
That's a good movie.
I and the summer and the beach. I live right by the beach, so that's probably like my number one lucky girl obsession is coming home from work, taking a shower, and then going to the beach.
Yeah. How has the weather been there on the East Coast? Because it has been a scorcher in California. It's been so hot.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, it's been in the 90s here, and the humidity's like 70%, so it's been awful over here.
Yeah, it's been like dead heat over here, and I don't know, as somebody who has lived on the East Coast, now lives on the West Coast, I genuinely cannot tell you whether I prefer dry heat or wet heat more. I think I'm leaning towards dry heat because at least my hair won't get frizzy, but either way, it's miserable, dude, and I love the sun. The sun in itself, I'm obsessed with. I love when it's sunny. I just absolutely adore. I feel so alive and ready to go when it's sunny out. But when it's hot, it is miserable. If we ever did Lucky Girl dislikes on the podcast, honestly, I think how hot it would be one of mine, because it's so hot in California right now. We went through a little bit of a cooler spell these past couple days, but I think today it's going to be another really, really hot day. And I'm like, oh, I'm just not ready for it.
We got a little rain, so it was like 78 yesterday.
Oh, I would literally. So
that was like a nice break.
I would kill for rain. I would kill for rain. And that's my thing. Whenever in California, I feel like lately, the past couple of years, I've lived in California for 4 years now, which is insane to think. But the past couple of years, it'll rain all of January. And I love the rain too. Like one of my two things in life when it comes to nature that I'm obsessed with is when it rains and the sun. And that's it, which is two very obviously like two different sides of the coin. But I just absolutely love when it's like that. So I hate that we basically go the entire summer from June all the way to like September when it doesn't rain a single time. And there's no forecast that it's going to be raining anytime soon in California, which makes me sad. But, you know, you got to find, I feel like I have the opposite of like when people are like, summer's my season, like this is when I feel most alive. I feel most alive in like spring or fall, not winter, not summer. I don't like the extremes because I think it's just that California is the extremes, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But
I was going to say, we get summer showers here all the time, so.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
It would be a place for you. Yeah. I hate it. I could probably go my whole life without rain as long as the ecosystem was still fine.
Yeah. I love summer showers. That's just so beautiful. And Gracie and I have talked about me moving down to the East Coast with her for a while now. Like, I think it's been, 2 years? But I think, and I keep on going back and forth because I would genuinely like to be with my family again. We, both of our lucky girl obsessions are, we are welcoming nephews into the world these past couple of months. We have baby Atlas and baby Theo, I call him Teddy, coming into this world, and they're both on the East Coast. Atlas is my brother's son. They're all in Florida, and then Troy and Dylan and baby Teddy, they are all living on the East Coast with Gracie. So I haven't seen them yet. Gracie has had the privilege of seeing him. I have not. And I do miss my family. I miss being able to experience these things, and I think it's really, really crazy that my sister Troy, especially, and Forrest, but like they're going through this monumental change in their lives, and the only thing I am to them right now is like a voice on the phone, you know, not being able to like hold the baby or see them. And like, really, and I love babies, but I have never held a baby in my life, so I don't know, that's scary. But I really, when I think especially about Troy, because Troy is genuinely one of my best friends, I just think like I just want to be there for her, you know, even if it's just a hand to hold or someone that's supporting her. Like Gracie had said something in our group chat about like how siblings have this way of speaking that nobody else understands. And they were talking about how when Gracie came to visit that she was talking to Troy in like a certain way, and they're just like dying laughing about it, and Dylan didn't really understand it. And I was like, that's what I miss the most, honestly. Like, I genuinely miss being in a room with my friends. Even before the podcast started, me and Gracie were on the phone, and we were just saying stuff that only, I feel like only we would laugh at. And it's like, I just genuinely miss that. You know, moving out here, you find your chosen family. You find, you know, Cassandra is my best friend. Like, she's like a sister to me too, but it's like, you know, your blood is something different. And I genuinely just miss them. The people that you grew up with, the people that you learned how to love with, it's really sad.
You formed who you were with these people. So essentially, like, you guys are always a part of me because you guys were part of my growth into who I am.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I agree.
Absolutely.
It is different. Like, Theo was the first baby I held as well. Mm-hmm. And it's, even that was like a crazy connection because I'm like, you are woven into me. Like, you're a part of me mm-hmm. still.
Yeah.
Even just as your aunt. And mm-hmm. it was like the perfect first baby to hold.
Yeah, no, that's beautifully said. I think that's really true. That I just think it's crazy. I have this picture, this Polaroid of Troy on one of my vision boards that I've had for years. The last time I saw her, December 16th, 2021, I've had this Polaroid with the, she wrote me a letter, which I've talked about it on the podcast before. Troy, I've done that my entire life. My entire life I have said good Troy. But anyways, Troy wrote me a very, very beautiful letter from boot camp that I have on one of my vision boards with a picture of her. And then it's right by my door. So whenever I leave, I kind of just glance at that picture and I was like, that woman right there is a mother now. Like, she has a whole baby. And that's insane to me. But getting back on topic with the Lucky Girl Obsessions, I have two that we're going to run really, really quick. The first one is, I have become a Pilates princess once again. I am back in my Pilates game and I am so freaking happy about it because I love Pilates. And if you guys have never tried Pilates, please try at least one class and maybe don't even start with the reformers because the reforming machines are crazy. Those, like, your body, you will be like legs shaking walking out of the studio wanting to crawl to your car. But start with mat Pilates. There's a lot of really, really good YouTube videos about mat Pilates that's what I've been getting back into is mat Pilates. And I just recently found out that the Pilates studio I used to go to when I lived in Orange County had moved to where I'm at now. So I'm going to start going to classes, which is very, very exciting and very, very lucky girl coded because how insane that they moved to where I'm living now after I moved. So I didn't have to give them up, which is really cool. And then the second lucky girl obsession I have, I was talking to Gracie about this before we started the episode, is Gracie Abrams' new album. I'm absolutely obsessed with it. Her lyricism is just insane. She has a song with Taylor Swift, which, as we know, I quote Taylor Swift all the time on this podcast. I love Taylor Swift. Her lyricism is insane. And a lot of the songs she's talking about, like, friendship breakups, as well as, like, wrong time breakups and stuff like that. And I can heavily relate to stuff like that. So I have definitely been putting my connections to her music. And I just think that she really has just... She's evolved so much as an artist and her songs are just so beautiful and they make me want to dance, which, as we know, I'm not a professional dancer, but it's really, really fun. And I genuinely have been obsessed. I've been listening to it nonstop and I can't even tell you how many songs are on the album, like 10, 12, 13. And I will listen to it over and over and over again. She released it the 21st, which is a week ago. And I know every lyric to every song, which is very... very chronically online of me, but I love it so much. But moving on to the final Lucky Girl segment, before we get into this episode, we are already at 20 minutes of gabbing. We're going to talk about what has made me feel lucky this week, which, Gracie, will you take over? What has made you feel lucky?
Yeah, what has made me feel lucky this week? Gosh, there's so many things. Like, I think my favorite thing in the world and just like a huge part of my character and who I am is like connections, like mm-hmm. connections with people, connections with inanimate, like animals, mm-hmm. Like nature, like I said, the beach, those are things mm-hmm. that like I thrive off of. So like, things that have made me feel lucky is, again, to circle back, is like living in a city where I live so close to the beach, mm-hmm. like less than 2 minutes away. I pull out of my driveway, turn onto a main road and then turn into the beach. Mm-hmm. That's something that has made me feel lucky. The love I get from everyone around me has made me feel lucky. Mm-hmm. And knowing that I have a lot of change coming up and new opportunities and my career is going to go in a different way and it's going to be in a way of my choosing, that's made me feel lucky. And being able to put these past 5 years that I've been in my career into perspective and really mm-hmm. sit back and look at it has just made me feel so lucky that I've made the decisions I've made. I've mm-hmm. met the people I've met, all those things.
Yeah, I think that, especially regarding your career, I think it's so insane to know, like, you stepped into it 5 years ago knowing that you had... there was a deadline, you know, not a deadline. There was an end date. You knew that it was going to end eventually. You could have chose to continue it or not, but it's like you had that 5 year set, and it's crazy to think about like the Gracie 5 years ago who was like, dang, I have 5 whole years in this, to the Gracie who is now doing like the work to, you know, actually put it into perspective and use your talents now and use what you've learned within these past 5 years, whether it be like mentally or like actual like physical things that you've learned to do and the way you've grown within these past 5 years. It's insane to know that like you're at the end of that 5 year journey, and it's like 5 years have passed. How crazy is that?
I agree.
It's just, it really, whenever I think about it, I'm like, dang, I've lived in California for 4 years, and you know, you're about to be in your 5th year of living on the East Coast. And that's just crazy to me. And it's just like, wow, time really flies. But do you have anything else that has made you feel lucky this week? Or you? I think you were very well spoken.
Yeah, I think that encompasses most of it for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can attest to Gracie being somebody who really loves like connection. And I think you've always, I think I can relate to it too, of both of us being people who love like the little things in life, and it's just genuinely just living the lucky girl lifestyle of like really being grateful for every single moment. And that's kind of what has made me feel lucky this week too. I have been getting into reading again, which I was an obsessive reader when I was in high school. I was in this thing, I don't know if any other schools did it, but it was called like the $1 million club or something like that, like the millions club. And it's if you, which is so silly, it's if you've read 1 million or more words within the school year. I think I was at like 1.5 million, I'm not gonna lie, because I read so much my senior year. And then as I got older, as I moved to California, as I became an adult, I obviously kind of, I convinced myself that I lost the time for it. I have all the time in the world, and I was genuinely like, I want to get back into reading, especially I've been trying to stay offline, and I've been trying to especially stay off TikTok, because Cassandra put it into perspective for me when I'd bring up something about TikTok, and she'd be like, what? Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, you need to be more online. She was like, you need to be more offline. And I was like, actually, you are actually so right. So I've been reading a lot. I have 2 books that I'm really obsessing over that I've been bouncing back and forth. The first one is a memoir by Dolly Alderton. She's such a funny, witty writer. It's about her life. And it is actually based, this episode is based on this book, because I thought it's a memoir. So I thought that this is just perfect to what I wanted to talk about with Gracie. And it is called Everything I Know About Love, which is exactly the title of this episode. And within this book, she is just talking about what she's learned about love from her friends, what she's learned about love from drunken nights being stupid, what she's learned about love of somebody yelling at her and like her having to like redirect. And like, it's just like, she's... I'm not done with the book, but I feel like the basis of the book is like, everything I know about love, I've learned from experiences, which is exactly what this episode is going to be about. This very long awaited episode, because I am so talkative today. But yeah, these books are just really, really, they're really helping me so much. I've talked about this so much on the podcast. Brianna Weiss, she has 2 self-help books that I bounce back and forth with, The Mountain Is You and 101 Essays to Change the Way You Think. I have been reading and rereading 101 Essays to Change the Way You Think, and it is genuinely just helped me so much. I've grown so much in this past like couple weeks because of this book, and I just think that it's so cool that I have that capability. So that is genuinely what has made me feel lucky this week. With that being said, Gracie, are you ready to hop into this episode?
I'm ready. Let's get it.
Alrighty, this long-awaited episode. With that being said, welcome to episode 45, Everything I Know About Love. Alrighty, Gracie, let's hop into... I have a couple little topics that I want to talk within this episode. I wanted to talk about first, what I learned about love as a kid. And who better to talk about what I learned about love as a kid than my sister, who has known me as a kid, which I think you are pretty much one of the only people in my current life that, other than obviously our other siblings, that have known me as a kid and have been through the exact same experiences that I have been through and have learned the exact same things that I have learned. And I think it's really interesting to see how we have had the same experiences, but we have taken different things from it, you know? So first things first, as a kid, love was in the games I'd play with my siblings. You know, love was sticking together and being each other's best friends. You know, my dad and my mom divorced when I think I was 4 or 5. And I never really knew what a romantic love was because I didn't see it within my parents. You know, within our parents. I think that it was a very long awaited thing to learn what like romantic love was and to love somebody who's not a part of you that's not connected to you already, that you choose to love, like when it comes to friends or like a romantic relationship, whatever. It took me a long time in my life to find that, you know? So as a kid, I had friends. I remember having friends, but I also remember as a kid just knowing that no matter what, even if I didn't have friends, I had my siblings. Moreover, I had Gracie and Troy, and we were like the three musketeers. Out of the five of us, I think my oldest brother, Forrest, he was the only boy. He liked to spend like a lot of time in his room, and you know, he would play with us sometimes, but you know, a lot of it he would just spend alone. And then my sister, Tanya, she's deaf. So she, the beginning of her life, like her, I would say her, like, till she was, like, 10, right? Would you say that?
Yeah, she got her hearing aids when she was 8.
When she was 8, yeah. So a lot of her young life, she didn't really want to play with us. She kind of just stayed in her room. And it was me, Troy, and Gracie that really just, like, we were, like, the three musketeers. And I remember just feeling love in that, like, feeling valued. And I remember, do you remember what we used to do with writing and stuff?
Yeah, I remember we wrote a whole book series about our Build-A-Bears and being superheroes and stuff.
Yeah, I think this is really where I think all of us really learned to be creative. Coming from a big family, coming from a poor family, not having like material things to keep us entertained, we definitely learned how to be creative within ourselves. And we had construction paper and we had pencils and crayons. And we genuinely, I remember it was an entire book. We wrote an entire book about our stuffed animals, and it's so cute. I wish we still had it. We gave it to who did we give it to? A teacher?
No, I think Dad still probably has them too.
Oh, really? I thought we gave it to a teacher or something. I hope.
I also want to add, like, going back to like the topic is like how, you know, things that make you feel loved as a kid is, you probably don't remember this because you were younger than us, but the construction paper and the pencils and things I got from my teacher. I went to my teacher and I, you know, where we lived was already low income as it is, but you know, our family wasn't, grew up very poor. Mm-hmm. So they knew like the life we lived and what means we had and didn't have. Mm-hmm. And I went to my teacher and I told her, like, me and my sisters want to like write and draw, and could I take some of the classes? Cause we had a whole corner that had pencils, colored pencils, crayons, paper. And I asked my teacher, can I take some home for us to use? And she was like, yeah, just like take whatever you need. She gave me a rubber band. I wrapped up a bunch of colored pencils, grabbed like a stack of construction paper, and I brought it home. And that's love too, because that's so like selfless of them to do.
Absolutely.
But we all know teachers make nothing. Yeah. And this is also California. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely something she used her own money for and was willing to just give away for us because she knew we didn't have a lot. But absolutely, I feel like as an adult, she could definitely see that's siblings trying to have connection and make memories with basic things. So
absolutely,
early on, like selflessness from other people showed love to me. And it showed me, like you said, you don't have to be blood for someone to love you or show that they love you. And that was like all those examples, like teachers when growing up were very influential.
Absolutely, absolutely. I remember, I don't remember her name now because she was a substitute teacher or like an intermittent teacher for the first like I think it was my third grade year. It was like the first half of my third grade year. She was an intermittent teacher because the teacher that was supposed to be my teacher ended up being pregnant and having a baby. Anyways, that teacher, though, I remember her. I wish I remember her name because she was so influential to me. I remember I was a very, very agitated kid, I guess I would say. I was very, like, I moved all the time. You know, I just couldn't sit still. And I remember she like pulled me aside one day and she was like, what can we do to help you? And it wasn't like, I remember this. It wasn't like, you're disrupting my class. Like, you're annoying me. What can I do? She was like, I want you to feel comfortable. So she got me this rubber band ball. And it's so like silly. Like, it's a rubber band ball, but it genuinely, like, it helped me in class. It helped me focus. It helped me understand more. It helped me sit still. And that helped me understand what we were learning, you know? So
she didn't make it a big deal and make
absolutely.
You know, she didn't try to point you out. She just personally went to you and tried to help you out. Again, so you feel normal, you fit in.
Absolutely.
And you're able to get an education like everyone else.
Absolutely. It was so selfless and so kind. And then the teacher who took over for her, Miss Hernandez, do you remember the Jack Johnson CD?
Yep.
Oh my God, that's such a big part of my childhood too. Whenever we were in class, she had the CD player and she would play Jack Johnson, which is like, it was his Curious George album, which has great songs on it, by the way. And I would always kind of just be singing along, like being me. And at the end of the school year, she gave me the CD and she was like, because I know how much you love it. And it's like, that is genuinely... I think now that I'm realizing this with what you're saying about your teacher letting you have like art supplies, that is a lot of our love was given by people who just didn't have to do it. That were so selfless with it that we had a lovely teacher who I will never, ever forget. All three of us had her. Miss Liang, she is genuinely one of the kindest people I've ever met in my entire life. I'm still really good friends with her daughter. But honestly, that whole family was so, so sweet. And they knew that we were less fortunate. They knew that we were struggling. And they never,
also,
ever.
Can I add something?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, like, something I'm realizing too now, even just us talking about it, because it is weird. Like, we don't talk about this stuff a lot. So something mm-hmm. I'm realizing too, and it's like, it is just, it's so sweet. And like, obviously us both being women, I'm like, now I'm realizing as an adult that that's part of it too, is like, they all knew we didn't have a mom. Like, mm-hmm. we were so young without a mom during that period of time. We're like mm-hmm. 4, 5, 6. Like, that's a time when every little girl needs a mom. And all these women in our lives that were teachers, they're already giving themselves, or giving us so much of themselves by teaching us and showing us the ways of the world. And, you know, we were in programs. We were in all these different activities. Like, they're trying to make us better. And then to also on top of that, show us love, because they knew we didn't have that female influence in our mm-hmm. lives. And like, that's just so cute and so sweet.
Oh,
like,
no, absolutely.
Realizing now as an adult,
it was very much like all of these teachers that had like shown us love in whatever capacity, it was very maternal. They really, and I remember this, like, Tanya went to a different school. Forrest was a lot older than me, so I can't really speak on his experiences. But like, once again, me, Troy, and Gracie were really grouped together a lot of our lives. And I remember like getting hugs from teachers and it being feeling so maternal. Like, we had this JROTC teacher, which, if you don't know what JROTC is, it is essentially like, take it away, actually, Gracie. Do you know what JROTC is? Do you know what you would describe it as?
I don't even know what it stands for, honestly, and I should, but it's just like, I mean, ROTC usually would do in high school, and it's military based, and mm-hmm. you're just, you know, they're trying to teach you principles and different good character traits mm-hmm. and stuff, but you also would work out. It was an after school program, and yeah. We had JROTC at our elementary school, and they offered early scholarships. They offered, you go to like competitions, I'm pretty sure, and there's always some kind of like award and stuff with it. Mm-hmm. So it's just something they're teaching.
Yeah.
Teaching structure to young kids.
Absolutely. And Gracie, Troy, and I, we were all in this JROTC, which, by the way, I don't know why I was in it, because I was not good at it. But I think on going back to like learning about love as a kid, I think they let me be in it because my sisters were in it. And it was also a way to get out of our house, which I think we're very lucky still to have grown up the way we did. We didn't have everything, but we were safe, at least, you know? But I still feel like, for me at least, and I can't speak for Gracie or Troy, but for me at least, I had always wanted to get out of my house, to do something else, to, like, you know, grow within more than what we had, you know, like I wanted to do more. So that's why I feel like they led us into JROTC, or me at least, because I think I was really, really young. I think I was like just at the age limit, but anyways, I digress. The teacher who taught JROTC, she was supposed to be this like strict teacher. It's like military based. So obviously we're elementary school kids. They're not going to like bully us, but they were very, very strict with us. But I remember this teacher, and I can't remember her name, but I remember she was very maternal to us. She was very, very sweet. And like after the program was over, like the school year ended, I remember her like giving us a hug and being like, I'm really proud of you guys. And even that within itself of her she's supposed to be like tough and like really like make us work. She purposefully, I feel as though she chose all three of us a lot of the times to do things that were very like leadership based, because she wanted us to have that knowledge, you know. And I remember we had these little cards. I don't remember what they said, but it was like the things that we had to know, and we had to recite them sometimes while like we were working out. And I remember she would pick like me, Troy, and Gracie to do it a lot. And especially Troy was very high ranked within this JROTC. She was doing amazing. And that teacher was just so kind to us. And I just think stuff like that, just like little moments like that, made me realize that like people find love in more than just blood, you know, like people choose to love people. And I think that's very, very beautiful. And especially learning that as a kid was just very, very beautiful. Gracie was right in saying that like we don't really talk about this stuff very often. So like talking about it on the podcast really opened my eyes to all of this love that I felt as a kid. Most of the moments were spent like at school within these teachers, within my siblings. And like I really felt that. And I think that that's really beautiful. That's a really beautiful foundation to have moving into this next topic that I want to talk about, which is like learning to love from female friendships. And this is, I think it's just very beautiful that what I'm realizing within this episode as we're talking is a lot of the love I've ever felt is from women, is from females, is from, you know, maternal things. And within female friendships.
We're so intuitive, and we're so intuitive. We know just in general who needs what from us, but mm-hmm. also we're able to look at another woman or a girl and know what that person needs from us. And it's just like, that's something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's very, very beautiful. And I think we're very, very lucky to, and I will speak on this for Troy as well, but Gracie as well. I think all three of us are incredibly intuitive people. And that's just one of the biggest gifts that the universe has ever given me, is to be intuitive and to know what people need when they need it. I think that's honestly like a superpower. But going into female friendships, I have genuinely always been a best friend type of girl. I've had groups of friends before, but I'm always like, I always pinpoint that one person and I'm like, I'm attached to you. Like, I'm tethered to you now. And I feel as though Gracie is the same way. Gracie, you have had the same best friend for how long? 10 years?
Yeah, like 10 years.
That's
11 years.
Yeah. Speak on that, if you will, about how being friends with, her name is Mackenzie, and she's the sweetest girl, how being friends with Mackenzie has shaped you as a person, and like how Mackenzie taught you how to love within loving yourself or like loving other people. I want you to talk about that.
Yeah, definitely. Me and Mackenzie, we clicked right away, right after we moved across the country to Florida. It was so scary, and I remember just being like in a really dark place, and I, at that age, I didn't even understand why, because I'm like, you know, we just moved. But then to circle back to what we were talking about with elementary school, like, all of us were like the popular kids. We had groups of friends. Everyone mm-hmm. wanted to be friends with us, because, I mean, I think we're all very kind and like, you know, we're very nice people, so we mm-hmm. always made friends wherever you went. So mm-hmm. then to go all the way across the country, one, to a place that's just so culturally different, mm-hmm. where people didn't like us and people viewed us differently, mm-hmm. and people judged us. We went to a really tiny school, so mm-hmm. all eyes were on us. It was very scary, and it, like, put me in fight or flight mm-hmm. mode. And then
absolutely.
I met Mackenzie. We had the same classes, and I met Mackenzie, and we clicked right away, and I remember telling her so early on, like, you don't feel like you should be from here. Like, I don't get how you fit in with these people. Like, you are just so different. And then, like, I met all her family and stuff, and we really just grew up together because she wasn't going through the best time in life. I wasn't. And we really just bonded on that. And again, like, grew up together. We experienced so much together. And then even in the sense of love, like, with me being queer, being a lesbian, like, we moved to the South, so that's not, you know, a lot of people don't mm-hmm. accept that and will never accept it. Mm-hmm. So growing up and me kind of growing into that and realizing, like, that I do like women, it was a scary mm-hmm. thing for a friendship because those lines never blurred for me. Like, Mackenzie has always been my friend, but mm-hmm. it was scary because I was like, she's my friend and we are so close and, like, she's literally a sister to me. Could bringing this one thing up take all of that away?
Yeah.
And thankfully it didn't, not even at all in the slightest. Like, I used to do this thing when I was young where I would create how the conversation would go in my mm-hmm. head, and I already would have their reaction planned, and I would prepare for that like it was doomsday. And then I prepared for a long time. This is exactly how I'm going to say it. This is what I'm going to tell her. All these things that I'm thinking it's going to go one way. And the conversation started, and it did not go the way I expected it. She was so open, so accepting, mm-hmm. and never even treated it like it was a weird thing or something she had to come to terms with. Mm-hmm. Everything just continued as it was, and I was just Gracie. Like, I was no different. Mm-hmm. And having her be that one person in my life that I was fully out to, mm-hmm. again, just made our friendship even deeper because mm-hmm. I was able to open up about that part of me with no judgment at all and just have those conversations and have them not be so foreign or anything. Mm-hmm. And then just to stay friends throughout all the seasons of our life has been, like, so beautiful to me. Mm-hmm. We've met, like, she's just been, like, a steady person in my life. We've never had any issues, any arguments about anything. We're just, like, sisters. Like, she's really a sister to me.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's genuinely so beautiful. And I have been the type of person, and I've talked about this once again on the podcast before, that I have watched my sisters. I've been an envious person a lot in my life because I think within my life, I've been pitted against my sisters a lot. And, like, a lot of my friends growing up was like, I like your sisters more, which is, like, duh, like, they're the coolest people ever. Of course you're going to like them. But a lot of my life, I had mentally turned it into a competition, which was very unhealthy and very damaging to my relationship with my siblings. But I had turned it into a competition, and I was almost, like, really, like, gremlin, like, my precious to my friends is, like, I didn't even want them to, like, be around my sisters because I'm like, they're gonna like them more. But then I had realized that it has nothing to do with my sisters and everything to do with the people that I was calling my friends, right? So I finally found my two, like, hometown best friends, Kalina and Casey. I finally found them, and it was like something clicked in my brain that I was like, I'm not scared of them knowing my siblings. And, like, Kalina and Casey love my family. Like, they speak so highly of Gracie and Troy and, like, Tanya and Forrest as well. And it's like, I had learned, I was like, oh, okay, maybe it's not a competition between, you know, like, I don't want my friends to meet my siblings because they're going to like them more. It's, I need to find the right people that love me, that just love me, period.
Yeah, and it's so telling in a relationship, like, friendship or romantic. Like, yeah, it's kind of silly when you look back because you're like, why wouldn't I want the person I love or the people I love to love the other people I love, you
absolutely,
know?
Absolutely. And
then also, like, to circle back, it's like that fight or flight. Mm-hmm. Again, you're put in, like, that's what you feel. And then with us being around the same age, we're all us three are 10 months apart. So you do kind of feel, like you said, that envy of, like, dang, I could have chose that person to be my friend. And yeah. I could have had that same relationship. I could have had that bond because we are so close. So, like, you know, we could have swapped out friends, whatever, if we wanted to.
Yeah.
Been nothing.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, there is that little bit of, like, dang, I could have chose that person. Mm-hmm. And that would have been my experience, mm-hmm. whether that's real or not. Like, mm-hmm. that's kind of, I feel like, what our brains
absolutely,
like, are wired to do.
Absolutely. And I think when we had moved to Florida, which Gracie had worded it perfectly about being in fight or flight, She was right. It was such a culture shock growing up in Southern California, where, the heavy topics of like homophobia and like racism and stuff like this, they didn't really exist when we were kids. They existed, but not to us, because, you know, our family is a kind family, and I didn't know this stuff existed. And Troy talks about it a lot. I'm not going to speak for her, but where we grew up, like, we were one of the majority being a Hispanic family where we grew up, and then we went to Florida being the minority. I think I was 11 at this point. I was in fifth grade, so I wanted to make friends. Obviously, I knew I had a very long road ahead of me of being in Florida, and I wanted to make friends. But it's like at every corner I turned was like people saying things that I didn't understand, because I was like, why are you so hateful to these people? And I think within you having Mackenzie, this is where I feel the shift between how I felt about living there versus how you felt about living there. I think we're both very, very similar of like, we knew we didn't want to live there forever. We knew we were unhappy and sometimes, but it's like you had Mackenzie, who was so open and accepting and so intelligent. And it was almost like, I don't want to say she hid you away from like the bigotry of where we lived, which I'm not saying everybody, but it was a very, very small town. But you had that like respite of her being, how do I even word this? Like her being your safe haven, you know?
Yeah, I didn't have to face any of it. I didn't have to deal with any of it, because I'm like, well, I have my best friend for the rest of my life. Like,
yeah.
I did make more friends, and I made lovely, lovely friends.
Yeah.
Like, I made great, also more accepting friends. Mm-hmm. But that filler between me finding those new friends, like when I got my first job and stuff, mm-hmm. and those people from there, but just all throughout school, I didn't care. Like, Mackenzie went to a different school, and I did not care that I was, like, walked alone in the hallways. Mm-hmm. I had friends, but I didn't have any best friends. Mm-hmm. I didn't do much, because I got to see Mackenzie 2 times a week. So I'm like, I didn't care, because yeah. I basically don't have to impress you guys, and I don't have to be more, what is it, palatable for you guys?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
I didn't care for that.
Absolutely. And that, I think, I would say the first like 3 years of living in Florida, I didn't really have a best friend. I've had people that I've loved, and I will always love. There are friends that I have that I always love, but it wasn't until I got to like 8th, 9th, 10th grade that I met Kalina and Casey, that we became like the trio. We were like the best friends, and I basically lived at Casey's house, and I learned so much about love from them. So much about acceptance as well. And I think that Gracie was braver than I was with like coming out to Mackenzie, and even like coming out to our dad when she was older. I have never come out to my dad, which I feel like I really didn't have to. It didn't feel like anything. Yeah. He wasn't going to disown me for being queer, but it's like I think I always had this head, especially in this thought in my head, especially with being very, very feminine, is that people wouldn't believe me when I was like, yeah, I'm queer. And I think that,
and even on that, like on that same note, it's like, I only came out to three people. Dad, I just came out just because, but mm-hmm. I only came out to two people because I didn't know how they would react. But like how I said, I made up their reaction in my head. It was mm-hmm. like Mackenzie, just because like I had seen her one way and I knew who she was as a person, but I was still scared because mm-hmm. I was like, well, at the end of the day, she is from here. So mm-hmm. she may not feel like, you know, she may, you know, whatever. Or she mm-hmm. may just look at me weird.
Yeah.
Anything like that. And then, obviously, a sibling that mm-hmm. I didn't know how they were going to respond. So mm-hmm. I came out to them, and I mean, everything was okay. Things mm-hmm. have gotten better. But yeah, definitely, I felt you and like other people like that, I never, like you said, I never felt the need to come out, just because you guys never gave me that inkling. Like, you didn't feel safe. I never.
Yeah, absolutely.
Felt like you guys would look at me a different way, and I feel the same for you. That's why I never expected you even to come out, or mm-hmm. I thought Troy would come out too, or something. Just for you guys, I never, anything like that, I never expected you guys not to.
Yeah, and I think
I guess to do it.
Yeah, I think it's when I moved out to California and I've met the friends that I have now, that it's like they know me as like me who's queer. And I feel like obviously I've always been queer my entire life. I didn't know how to put a label on it. But it's like growing up, I never thought about anything romantic anyways. You know, like within my friendships, I wasn't the one sitting around like, let's talk about boys. And I think that's also has stuff to do with like being in a small town of like, there was nobody I wanted to talk about. But it's like, I never felt like I had to come out to Kalina or Casey. I never was scared of them like not accepting me for who I was. And I also think that maybe in some ways I just didn't want to come out to anybody because I was like, at the end of the day, like, if you don't want to love me for who I am, I'm already moved. I already live in California. Like, it's fine. Like, but I think that.
Yeah, it's like object permanence.
Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, when I moved out to California, I was more like openly queer. I would talk about it more. My first queer relationship was last year. And this actually really had messed me up within like learning how to love as a queer person was that the girl that I was with, she would always say like, she would make fun of me for being feminine, basically, which is very, very not okay. But she would question my validity of being queer because I'm so feminine. And I understand the first time she did it of her just being like, oh, I didn't even know you were gay. Like, I didn't know. And then it kind of continued as being like a running joke of her being like, you're gay, like as we were together. And then it just progressively got more and more, you know, not good, but
invalidating, yeah.
Invalidating genuinely. And within being somebody who doesn't see like a gender when I fall in love, you know, like it's not just about guys. It's not about girls. Like I love the person. I love the soul. And it felt very, very invalidating of her being like, I didn't even know you were gay. Like, you act very, very straight. I'm like, what do you mean act? Like, it's just, it was really, really hard for me to understand that. But I also learned.
Like, we go together. What do you mean? Like,
yeah, it's insane. It's so insane. But I had learned within that situation as well. I've been on my self-love journey for a very, very long time in my life. But that past relationship, I'd really, really learned how to love myself, especially when it came to being queer, because I've always been accepting of myself. I've always been unafraid, but I had always, and I think also with her talking about like her invalidating my queerness, I think it was really eye-opening to realize that maybe that was a fear of mine for a really long time, that like people wouldn't believe me when I said that I was gay, you know, that I had to fight to make people believe me. And within that,
I also, even to circle back, like, same thing, how like you said growing up you felt this competitiveness. It's not,
yeah,
not like saying that's what you felt or anything, but I can also definitely see, like, you already had me who was out and I was in an open queer relationship at that time, and or I was in between some, whatever, you know, I'd already had experiences in that, so then to also feel like, gosh, and now I don't know if everyone's just going to be like, of course, like, Gracie's out, so now she's out, and then now what, the whole family is just
absolutely
gonna be like those kind of things.
Absolutely. And it's like, I genuinely looked up to you so much within like my formative years of turning from like a teen to an adult, of you being out and like having relationships. I looked up to you so much because I was like, you obviously, like, it's just who you are. It's just genuinely who you are. And it's like, nobody questioned the validity of your queerness, you know, and it wasn't the way you dressed. It wasn't the way you acted. It wasn't anything you did. It's just because you're so authentically you and you're just living within who you are genuinely. And it's like, I was still learning genuinely who I was and working through it. And it's like, it was just really, really hard for me. And I think that was a very transformative time in my life of like somebody questioning my validity. But it also made me learn how to love myself. And it made me learn that, like, at the end of the day, queer doesn't look a specific way. And that was something that I had to relearn within myself because it was a fear of mine that somebody is going to be like, oh, you don't look gay enough. And it's like,
yeah, which is why like labels are good. Labels are very good because they give people community and you're able to put a name on something. Like, queer people aren't the only people that have labels. Like, everyone has labels. Straight people, like, everyone has labels.
Mm-hmm.
Using them, it's good. Again, it gives you community. Helps you know exactly what to look for. If you're like, I'm feeling these things, let me look up this. But also, labels are like the downfall too, because people hold them to expectations. Like, you have to always meet this label. Like, even me now, like, I'm on a journey in and out with myself, because like you said, like, I'm like masculine presenting, that usually is like kind of what I would go for and stuff, but you know, I'm getting older and stuff, and I don't feel like that I'm leaning more back into like my femininity, because I love being a woman, and I'm secure in that. And it's like you said, like the authenticity is like, I don't have to prove I'm a lesbian by being masculine kind of thing.
Do you feel as though you were more like masculine presenting for a long time because you felt like you had to prove it? You felt like you had to be like, when people saw you being like, oh yeah, like she's queer, did you feel like you had to do that, or did you feel like that was just kind of what was authentic to you that you felt really comfortable with?
Yeah, it's like both. Like, I mean, even as a kid, I was always the tomboy, and I would say I'm very athletic, so like just that kind of like that environment leans more into like masculine clothing and stuff, but then I am just very confident in that. But also, the older I got and the more dating I did and stuff, I also realized like the type of woman I would go for, I put pressure on myself. Like, I felt like I had to be more masculine for these kind of women, or like a super feminine woman, like I have to be that, I have to be masculine. So then, yeah, like over time, and obviously like being in a long-term relationship and stuff has showed me like, it doesn't matter. Like, at the end of the day, I'm a woman and she's a woman. Like, I'm not hiding that I'm a woman from her. Like, she can tell plain as day. So there's no need for me to dress up masculine. Even if, like, I still do love dressing on a more masculine, like, side. But I don't have to do that. It's the thing now. I don't feel like I have to do this.
Absolutely. And I think that's really, that's once again, like, learning, going through this, like, self-love journey and really incorporating all the things that we have learned into what love actually is, and everything we know about love is like, the biggest thing about love for me is that you are allowed to change. You are allowed to grow. What has looked like love last year might not look like love this year. And that is such a big thing for me.
Like, allowed to, but you like have to.
Yeah, absolutely.
You cannot stay in this one idea of love. Like, I just can't even imagine that. Imagine going through puberty at 12, 13, and what you thought then is what you're stuck in. No, like, you have to change. You have to grow. Like, you have to force yourself to do those things sometimes.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Alrighty, lucky girls. So we had just looked at the timestamp of the episode and we are already an hour in. So I decided that what is better than one episode with Grace than two episodes? So we are going to make this a two-part series. Come back next Sunday for the rest of this episode. I feel though as though we talked a lot about what love means to us, but I want to get more into everything we know about love, from our experiences, our struggles, and I really want to dive deeper into how we learn to love in a very unlovable space, because I do genuinely think growing up we have struggled a lot with feeling unloved. Would you say that's agreeable?
Yeah, no, definitely.
So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and end out this episode, part one, and I cannot wait to hear from you in part two, but go ahead and leave a 5-star rate and review if you're very, very excited. This is Gracie's debut on a podcast, so go show her some love. Once again, her Instagram handle is @grace.lauren.p. So give her so much love. Make sure you are leaving a rate and review on this podcast and you are sharing it with all your friends so we can all be lucky girls together. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and I will see you next Sunday for a brand new episode of the Lucky Girl Podcast. Have the best day ever, and remember to always, always, always stay lucky.
Bye.